Good morning, everyone. And I pray that your Christmas will be very merry this year. You know what? Touches my heart and gives me joy is to be a comfort to other people, especially the young people, especially those who are young in the Lord. Amen. You know, Pastor, every time this year, I have a stronger desire to get closer to my Lord Jesus. Amen. And Ms. Rachel Smith, this morning, I tell unto you, grow closer to the Lord. He will strengthen you. He will guide you. He will bless you in abundance. And let me tell you something. You will be rejoicing always for what your Lord is going to do for you. Amen. Please. Draw nigh unto the Lord, he will draw nigh unto you. Praise God. When God created man, his work was not yet done. He still longed for us to know the glory of his Son. So he drew closer. Now he drew to be, dear Lord, oh, draw This song is called While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night, but it's not the same tune as we're familiar with. So I'm going to have Naomi see if she can play the same tune that we're familiar with. And I like the verses. I was just reading them. It's a nice poem. The author has a great message in this song. So we're going to sing it on the conventional, while shepherds watch their flocks. You pick a good... Well, that's good. All right, let's sing it. All right, here we go. While shepherds watch their... Oh, I'm sorry, 160. 160. And let's all stand up. And that way, the reason why the preacher likes people to stand up right before the offering is so you can dig real deep in your pockets. You know, it's a lot easier. All right, 160. And the offering, the ushers come forward on the last verse. This is a really good poem. I love it. While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. Gloria in excelsis Deo. In excelsis Deo.
celebrate your birth every day. We thank you not only just for Christmas, but we thank you for the times that we get in our whole lifetime just looking for your coming.
Amen.
We pray, Lord, that everything is done here will be to glorify you today in the preaching and the singing. And Lord, thank you so much for this fellowship. And we pray, Lord, that you bless the giver and bless the gift and use these to further our gospel, not only here at our church, but throughout the world through our missionaries. We thank you so much for loving us and dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's still the greatest story ever told.
Amen.
A woman and an angel, a promise and a song, a word too grand for any man to hold. A tax law, a journey, a stable and some straw. These tell the greatest story ever told. Side and some shepherds, a blaze of blinding light, angels singing carols in the cold, eternal revelation to men as dull as stone, the glorious greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery.
Everyone turn to 135. We're singing Joy to the World. One more Christmas song. Amen.
Nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven. better sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and flocks, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
Read out of the Bible, Romans 6:23, that tells us about God's gift to us. And Brother Burton, if you could look up Hebrews 13:15. Yes, sir.
Romans 6:23?
Oh, no, Romans 6:23. But you can tell us 6:23, too, if you want.
Okay. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God's given us a gift. Hebrews 13:15.
But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
Amen. And the only gift that we can give God, we can throw as much money in the offering plate as we want, and give to the poor. The only gift that we truly can give to God is our gift of praise.
Amen.
So, this song is Christmas praise.
As we prepare to celebrate the birth of our Lord, let us always remember why He came. And as we present our gifts to our friends and all our loved ones, let us offer Him the holy gift of praise. Hallelujah. Let us sacrifice. sacrifice our lives so that all the world may know of His love. For His birth in Bethlehem was a gift from God to man. Thank you, Father, for your perfect gift of love.
We do want to remember our sick folks. We want to remember Mrs. Zimmerman this morning. She's not able to be with us. Hopefully she'll be able to attend our service tonight. We appreciate the Zimmerman family. They were here last week, and what a blessing they are to our congregation. Remember her in prayer. And also we want to remember the Rice family. Jean and Barbara are both sick. He's been sick for a few days now. He cannot even speak. His voice is all messed up. And so keep them in prayer. We want to remember Brother Wayne Fox. Wayne would like to be with us too. It really breaks his heart that he's not able to be with us in our services. He does get to hear the messages that we bring because we record them. But it's just not the same as being here, and his seat is empty when he's not here. We want to remember to pray for Georgia Clark. Poor Georgia, she can't get around. She can hardly walk. She broke her foot. And in addition to all of the other problems that she has, please be in prayer for these that are sick. This time of the year, it's really hard. Oh, folks, we're glad to have all you visitors that are here with us today from far away places. Joy, yeah. I can remember Joy. I'll always remember this the rest of my life. Whenever she stood up here on this platform when she was just a little girl and quoted all 156 verses of the 119th Psalm. She's the only person I know of that's ever learned that entire psalm by memory. And what a blessing that has been to me and an encouragement all of these years. And we're glad to have all of you present today. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And while you're turning there, remember the services tonight at 6 o'clock here. We'll be having our evening services. We'll be having services Wednesday evening as well at 6. So remember those and come out and be with us if you possibly can. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now we'll get into the rest of this, but this will give us a launching pad for our message today, because we know that when the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son into the world. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came to dwell among us. And at that particular time, there were certain people who played a very important role in this greatest drama of all ages. And as a result, these people have become widely known and well remembered because of their association with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes a person great in my estimation. First, let me give you a Greek word here. Teach you a little Greek this morning. One of the words in our text, or actually three of them, You'll notice on this wise, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. In the Greek, there's only one word there. And that Greek is autos, O-U-T-O-S, found here in our text. It's a single word that's translated into three. But the reason that is there, and autos means to take notice of, to notice the details. He wants us to notice the details of how Jesus was born. Now there's another place in John chapter 3 verse 16 where this same word is used. And if you go, you know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Now that little two-letter word so is the same thing in the Greek as we find here on this wise. So in John 3:16, he wants us to take notice of the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I thought that was interesting, and you might appreciate that. In this wise is his birth. The first two people I want us to look at here are husband and wife team, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Before Jesus comes into the world, he must have a forerunner. He must have someone to go before him and announce and proclaim his coming. A special person that God is going to, he's not going to pick out one from among the people that are already born. He couldn't find anybody to qualify, so he's going to born him one. I like that. He couldn't find anybody, so he born him one. God said in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, John the Baptist was chosen to be the forerunner. He was chosen to be Jesus Elijah. He told his disciples in Matthew 17, they'd ask him a question. They said, Lord, why say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered them, and he said, Elijah is come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Now, then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So John has been selected by the Lord to be his forerunner, to go before him. And Jesus said in John 11:14, concerning John, he said, if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. So, God sent the angel Gabriel to Jerusalem. He goes into the holy place, where one of the priests is ministering in the holy place. He's in there burning incense to the Lord. That was his job as a priest in the beautiful temple there. And while he's doing that, apparently he's in there by himself, and all of a sudden the angel Gabriel appears to him. And when Gabriel appears to him, he tells him that thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, here's the miracle. Zacharias and Elizabeth were both, Luke 1 verse 7 says, well stricken in years. Now that's a Bible term that means they were at least 60 years old. They were senior citizens, if you please. Just a little ways away from Social Security and retirement. But here's another part of the miracle. Elizabeth, Zacharias' wife, had been barren all of her life, unable to conceive children. And now then she's past the age of childbearing. So if this is to happen, as Gabriel says, God's going to have to perform a miracle. And he did. In due time, John was born. Another couple, Mary and Joseph. 6 months after Gabriel's visit with Zacharias in the temple, he went up to Nazareth and appeared to a young woman at Nazareth, a virgin named Mary, who incidentally was a cousin to Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias. And when he came to her, he said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." When I was over there in Israel, at Nazareth, they led me to a place that was called the Well of Mary. And tradition says that that's where Mary was whenever Gabriel appeared to her. The Bible doesn't say, and your guess is as good as mine as to whether that's true or not. But where we do know that he did. And Mary replied to this angel Gabriel and said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." She put herself at the disposal of God. "Be it unto me according to thy word." Isn't that wonderful? Now, Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married. Joseph found out that Mary was expecting a child, and he knew that the child was not his. He was a just man and was minded to put her away privately. But Gabriel visited him one night and said to him, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So Joseph did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. In her ninth month, in response to a governmental taxation decree issued by Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus from the White House in Rome, they set out on that 71-mile journey from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Now let's move on. We've got some angels that come into play. In particular, there's Gabriel. But as Hebrews 1:14 tells us, the angels are ministering spirits. And these ministering spirits played a very important role in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they had predicted his coming. And now then, God makes Gabriel, the divine messenger, to Zacharias concerning the coming of John. And he makes a special appearance to Mary, the divine messenger, concerning Jesus and his birth. And I believe that he's the messenger that came to Joseph. So now then, we've got it all straightened out. And when Jesus Christ was born of Mary in the stable at Bethlehem and laid in a manger, the angels of God felt they just had to tell somebody about it. I mean, this is in the dead of night. The world is asleep. And the greatest event since the creation of the world is about to take place when God is becoming flesh. And he was born of the Virgin Mary, and nobody knew about it. The only ones that we know that were in that stable that night was Joseph and Mary. And that baby was born with only those two present. Now, the angels said, "Oh, we've got to tell somebody." So they looked around, and the only people they found awake at that time of night were some shepherds out in the fields of Bethlehem who were watching their flocks at night. And all of a sudden, this great angelic heavenly choir appeared, and they were singing a song of praise, and God threw the spotlight of his glory upon them as they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now let's direct our attention to the shepherds. These men who were fortunate enough to be the first ones to know about the coming of Christ into the world, and the first ones to bear witness of him as they saw him under the little baby in Bethlehem's manger. They were astonished when the angel of the Lord appeared to them and announced to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Oh, there's a song that we like to sing around here about how sweet it is to hold a newborn baby. This past week, our son, he doesn't even seem like a boy anymore. He's 61 years old, going to be 62 this coming March. And he's just now becoming a grandfather. And when he became a grandfather, he became a grandfather twice in 1 month, in the space of a month. And he got a little boy, and he got a little girl. Isn't that wonderful? I can't think of anything better than that. Two at one time. I mean, he is just overjoyed. He'd been over and babysat with the little boy for 4 hours, and he played with him. And then he went over to see little Stella. Now, Stella was born premature. Stella was just a little bitty handful, 4 pounds. Well, that was 2 months ago. She's gained two or three pounds by now, but she's still little compared with Mason, the little boy. You know, he's a husky boy. This delicate little girl. And he called me and he says, Daddy, he says, I held that little baby girl up on my chest. And he says, she just melted into me and became one with me. Oh, you know what it feels like. You know what it's like. What a joy. There's nothing more blessed in the world than a newborn baby fresh from God. And here in this manger, these shepherds come and they see the little Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, wrapped in his swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I think that's so wonderful. Well, let's talk about some wise men. We mentioned them briefly this morning in our Sunday school lesson. They came from the east, probably from Persia, which became Iran in 1935. Can you imagine Iranians becoming the first visitors that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had? Wow! Blows your mind. And now then, things are different, aren't they? Got a new generation over there. Well, these men that came were called the Magi. That's the translation. The translation of the word Magi is wise men. We mentioned this in our Sunday school. The tradition tells us there were three, even gives us their names. But anyway, they had seen his star in the sky, and that star, they followed the star, and it led them for many days over many miles until they came to the city of Jerusalem. And maybe the smog was too heavy over the city, or cloudy or something like that. They couldn't see the star anymore. And so they went in to talk to the scribes and Pharisees and talk to Herod the king and said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Herod didn't know. He didn't have the slightest idea. So he called the scribes and the priest, and they took out their Bible and they said, "Why, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." So the wise men departed Jerusalem for the 6-mile journey south down to Bethlehem. And that star reappeared, and they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The star went before them till it came and stood over where the young child lay. He was in a house by that time. And the Bible says that when they saw this baby Jesus, that they fell down and worshiped him. And then they presented their gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now let's go to the main star of the show. That's Jesus. That's the Word. John wrote that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things, he said, were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he's the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The Word is now made flesh to dwell among us, full of grace and truth. And the forerunner, John, when Jesus gets about 30 years of age, John will point to him and say, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But here he is now, a helpless infant, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. But John tells us that he's the bread of life. And he's the water of life. Bread and water that sustains mankind. John also tells us that he's the light of the world. And John 8:12 and John 9:5, twice. I'm the light of the world. I was reading just yesterday about the New Jerusalem. It doesn't need the sun to shine in it, for the Lamb is the light thereof. He's still the light of the world. And John 10:9, Jesus said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The door is open. And Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, that's the doors of our hearts. He said, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. In John chapter 10, he got to talking about his sheep being scattered all over the place. He said, I'm the good shepherd. And he said, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he did on the cross of Calvary. When Lazarus died, in John chapter 11, Jesus told Martha and Mary, I'm the resurrection and the life. Isn't that wonderful? I'm the resurrection, giving us the hope that one day the trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 15, verse 1, he tells us that he is the true vine. Jesus is all of these things. He's our Savior, our Lord, our coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Back in 1886, there was a statue that was brought over here to the United States, and they set it up. Some of you have probably seen it. They call it the Statue of Liberty. And I've never been there personally, but I've seen a lot of pictures of it, and so have you. They tell me that there's a big plaque on that Statue of Liberty. And then on that plaque, it reads this. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. And the nations of the world have responded to that invitation. And out of these homeless, poor, huddled masses yearning to be free, God Almighty has built the greatest and the most powerful nation on the face of this earth. Amen. But the Son of God reaches down his nail-scarred hand into this old sinful world today, and he picks up these lost, hell-bound sinners out of that miry clay, and he cleans them up, and he sets their feet on a solid rock, And he puts a song of rejoicing in their hearts, and he establishes their goings, and he makes them saints. Out of these, he's building his church. Out of these sinners washed in the blood of Christ, he's building his church. They're going to be taken to a place that he's preparing for us now. It's called the New Jerusalem. A city of gold, with streets of gold, and a wall of jasper all the way around it, and 12 gates of pearl. What a wonderful place that is. God has prepared a place for us. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your wonderful grace that looked down into this world and you saw sinners like we used to be. And you saved us by your wonderful grace. You showed mercy to us who deserved nothing but the torments of hell. And you cleaned us up and made us children of God. You adopted us into your own family and clothed us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We thank you today for your goodness and your grace. And if there is a person under the sound of my voice today that has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may today be the day when they come as the shepherds and as the wise men and kneel down beside, as it were, the crib of Jesus and worship him and give him our hearts and let him save our immortal souls for your name's honor and glory. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
127.
As we sing this invitation this morning, if there's one of you that's never been to the manger, thank God you can go to the cross. You go by the manger to the cross. At the manger you see Christ, the Son of God. On the cross you see the Lamb of God who died for your sins. Will you accept him today?
This song has two verses, so let's sing both.
All right.
Child in the
God is so good, God.
this next verse and keep in mind the grandson in Iraq, the people who need our prayers.
Amen.
Amen.